Maybe it's
taking vacation.
I'm
looking
for something else.
It's all
compliments? Down there, the stock. I've learned
it in the room. It's not hidden, is it?
With your permission. Chapter 13, sentence 1. Sefer Shmuel Aleph. We are in the middle of the story that Shmuel did re-establish the kingdom of Shaul. According to simple explanation, this is not a continuation afterwards. So now the Navi repeats, then Shana Shaul b'Malcho, Shaul was 1 year old when he got the kingdom. So the Gemara says what it means is not he was 1 year old, of course, what it means is like a 1 year old baby. That a 1 year old baby, usually what it means is that until a year old baby has no sense. Even after 2 years it doesn't have sense, but mainly after 1 year, until 1 year the baby is very pure and clean. So Shaul was compared to a baby, Ben Shana, that is 1 year old, to teach us how pure he is, even though we don't know how old he is. He already has children, he has grown-up children, Shaul. But he is like a baby that he didn't do a sin. The whole kingdom took only 2 years. What this means is until David HaMelech was appointed by Shmuel Navi, it took 2 years, and after 2 years, he lost the kingdom. And how was Shaul chose of him Israel? Shaul chose 3,000 people. Vayim Shaul Alpaim b'mishmash v'ar b'tikel. 2,000 stayed together with Shaul in a place called Michmash and the mount of Betkel. Ele Vayim Natan Givat Binyamin. 1,000 people went with Shaul's son Yonatan. We decided to send the rest of the people home. I mean, his army includes only 3,000 soldiers. So he had 2,000 and his son had 1,000. The Yachir Natan is a trip to Shtim Hashem and Geva, and Natan decided to kill the officer of the Plishtim. Vayishmu Plishtim, Plishtim heard it, and they drafted the people. So when Am Yisrael heard it, Shaul taka shofar, that Shaul ordered somebody to blow the shofar. What it means is that everybody should come and be ready for war with the Palestinians. The more taka shofar becholat, the more yishmu ha'ivrim. The Jews should listen. But here the Navi calls the Jewish people ivrim, not Yehudim ivrim. Usually we don't find it in the Tanakh. And Am Yisrael being called Ivrim, being called Israel, but not Ivrim. Here the Navi called them Ivrim. The whole Israel Shamul, everybody from Israel, from Am Yisrael heard, he called Shaul the Tzif Pishtim, even though it's not Shaul, it's Yonatan. But it means the kingdom of Shaul decided to kill the representative of the Pishtim, one of the officers of the Pishtim, the Gam Nivash Yisrael of Pishtim. And also, Am Yisrael started the war by killing the officer. It means Am Yisrael is the one to start the war with the Plishtim.
That's called targeted killing.
Right. Ve'itzaku ha'am acharei Shaul ha'Gilgal. So Am Yisrael gathered together in the place called Gilgal, because that's what Shaul was appointed, and Shaul was re-established as a king in the Gilgal, so they all came to Gilgal. Plishtim yasu lilachem Yisrael 30,000 rechev. The Plishtim drafted 30,000 chariots, the 6,000 parashim, 6,000 soldiers with horses, the am kachol asher satayam, nation like sand on the beach. לרוב. So many people. ויעלו ויחנו במחמש קדמת בית אבן, they came to the place מחמש, ושאול was there with 2,000 people. איש ישראל, עם ישראל so ראו כי צר לו, כי ניגש העם, so that's very hard for the nation. They weren't ready for a war. והתחבו העם במערות, the nation started to hide in caves, בחרכים, בסלעים, בצרכים, בבורות, all kind of places, hiding underneath the ground. They're afraid from a war. Some of us, the Ivrim, some of the Jewish people, עברו את הירדן, ארץ גז וגילה, they went to the other side of the Jordan River, where God, the tribe of God, and Chatshevet, Menashe, Reuven, used to dwell. They run away. They're afraid to have a war with the Philistines. They showed up in the Gilgal. Even though he was in Mishmash before, now he's in the Gilgal. V'chol ha'am chardu acharav. It says the whole nation coming towards the Gilgal, wherever it was left, and he's not afraid, he didn't run away, he didn't hide, they're coming to Shaul to see what to do. V'yokal yishivat yamim. So in the meantime, they had a wait before war, the Pishtim are coming to attack them, and they're waiting 7 days, Shaul is waiting 7 days, v'moed asher Shmuel. We learned before that Shmuel, when he met Shaul the first time, he told him to wait 7 days for him. That's the question, is it so past few months already, past few weeks already, past few years already, they don't know exactly how many, what is the exact amount of time that takes place from the time Shaul met Shmuel the first time. And then he said, now when the whole thing started, between the Pishtim and Am Yisrael, Shaul is going to wait for 7 days because Shmuel told him, in that place Gilgal, you should wait for me 7 days. So he's waiting 7 days. Below Shmuel Gilgal, Shmuel does not arrive to the place of Gilgal. The nation is going to go and to spread and to go back. That means it's a time of a war, and the nation are ready to fight maybe. We'll get to it in a minute. And now they're waiting, the citizens wait, and the Shaul tells them to wait, and it's already the seventh day, that's the day that Shmuel was supposed to arrive, then Shmuel told Shaul to wait till the seventh day, and he doesn't come, he doesn't show up. Then Shaul said, bring over to me the sacrifice, or rather sacrifice from him. He is ready to sacrifice it. Even though Shmuel told him, do not sacrifice anything until I come, and I will tell you what to do. This was in the first meeting Shaul met Shmuel. But Shaul, he lost his patience. He lost his patience. And he said, please bring me the sacrifices. I'm going to sacrifice it. In the meantime, he was able just to sacrifice one sacrifice, the Olah. Right when he finished to sacrifice it, even though he was not a Kohen, he's Israel, Moshe Binyamin, but because it was not the Mishkan, it was not Bet HaMikdash, the Gemara says that the person, even though that he is not Kohen, is allowed to serve on a stage, it's called on a Bama with altar. So the Gilgal was not really the Mishkan at the time, was not Bet HaMikdash, therefore even though Shaul is not a Kohen, he's allowed to do it, and he did it. When he finished to sacrifice that sheep, that Olah, Shmuel arrived. Right when he finished, Shmuel arrived. Then Shaul Ikratol Evarchoy, Shaul goes to greet him, but even Shmuel Me'atita, Shmuel asked him, what did you do? I told you to wait for me. Why did you sacrifice it? I told you not to sacrifice. Let me tell you what to do and I will sacrifice. In the meantime, you did it. Why did you do it? Even Shaul Kiraiti Kirafatamar, I saw that the nation ran away and they're going to spread around, they're not going to stay with me. Atalovata, you didn't show up. Lemoed Hayamim, you told me the seventh day, and I waited until the morning, and until noon time maybe, and I saw that you didn't arrive. So, Ufilishtim Nesafim Mechmash, in the meantime, Filishtim are gathering to Mechmash to attack us. ואמר, I said to myself, I sent this prayer with your permission, אתה ירדו פלישתים אליי גלגל לפני השם נוכל איתי. He says, now Pishtim are going to attack me to Gilgal, and I'm in the Gilgal, and I will not seek HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face. Of course, I had to do something in order for me to win the war. I had to do something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, I sacrificed it. By the park, I got strong, I made a decision, and my subconscious or my conscience told me, don't do it, don't do it. But I overcome my will, and I did sacrifice. Vale aula. I did sacrifice. You told me not to sacrifice, I couldn't wait anymore. People are leaving, and Plishtim are coming to attack me, and I couldn't wait anymore. Even Shmuel Shaul Niskarta. Shmuel Shaul, you made a very big mistake, it's called like stupidity. Lo Shavada Mitzvah Hashem, you didn't listen to the mitzvah for the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Hashem Elokei Asher Tzivah, they commanded you, I told you to wait. By doing such a thing, Ki Ata Anar Echin Hashem Amotecha Al Olam. If you would not have done such a thing, you would be a king forever. Now, because you did not listen, you did not wait for him, your kingdom is not going to continue. Because Hashem lo ish kidlo v'vah, people is looking for somebody else, like his heart, by Tavir Hashem l'agid al-amor. This prophecy is saying, that's it, now you lost the kingdom, and Kadosh Baruch Hu already chose somebody else. He lo shamat Hashem tifah Hashem, he did not keep what Hashem commanded. It means like this. Tavir explanation means that Shmuel met Shaul HaMelech for the first time, he told him, you wait for me 7 days, and after 7 days, on the seventh day, I will arrive, I will sacrifice, and then I will tell you what to do. Excuse me, but Shaul did not wait.
He didn't have any problem with them showing the question? Jonathan showing the question? Who told him to do it?
Right. Right. This is Shmuel. Shimon, I'll check the
13.
Thank you. 674.
Thank you.
Yeah, but here, see, Shmuel is telling him you did not listen to Hashem, you should have waited. The thing is not like killing this guy. I don't know, nobody told him to kill him. But he tells him, why didn't you wait for me? I told you in the name of God to wait for me, you should have waited for me. By not waiting for me, you lost the kingdom.
Is he implying that he didn't have faith in Hashem?
That's what it means. If he did not listen to Hashem's command, by not waiting for me, you just disrespect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you did not keep the command I gave you in the name of God, you should have waited for me. If you didn't wait for me, you lost the kingdom, Hashem already chose somebody else. The question is, what's the problem exactly? What is this that he has to wait for Shmuel and Shmuel doesn't come? What does Shmuel care? What does Hashem if we say care if he waits or he doesn't wait? He's right. He waited. This was on the seventh day and it's already getting late. In the meantime, Pelishtim are all around him, surrounding him, he doesn't do it for himself. He's doing it for Shemayim. He's doing it because he feels he's in trouble. Shmuel is not there, so he feels he's being threatened by the Pelishtim. He has to go to a war. He doesn't want to go to a war without sacrificing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't do any sin. Not a sin. This is Hashem told him, you wait for me. So yeah, I wait for him. So what is the sin that he already lost the kingdom because he didn't wait for him? What's the problem exactly? So Shmuel told him to wait. So he didn't. Okay, he didn't. It's not the Hashem. Hashem told him not to do something. Shmuel told him to wait. Maybe he didn't understand it from Hashem. But again, what does Hashem care if you waited or he did not wait? What's the problem exactly? So he didn't wait. So what? So what's the reason? It's not that he ate Hashem somebody something of kosher or he did a sin. He told him to wait. He didn't wait. So for this he lost the kingdom. It's just that the Navi describes the invention of Moho that he had no sins like a one-year-old baby. He doesn't have one sin. The man is clean from sin. There's no statement like this in the whole Tanakh about any person in the Tanakh. That the person is so clean from sin. No statement. Not about Moshe, not about Aaron, nobody. There's no statement that the person is what we say pure and clean completely. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a witness, the man had no sin. So what is the sin? He doesn't wait. What if he doesn't wait? If you remember once I said, what Daril said. Daril said that the sin of Adam HaRishon led to the Zohar, said Daril said that Adam HaRishon should have waited to eat from Etz Hadat till Friday night. And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him not to eat from the tree only that first Friday, the first day of creation of Adam HaRishon. And because he could not wait, says the Gemara, the Zohar says, the Daril says, because he did not wait, therefore the whole thing started. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not mean he should never eat from the tree in Gan Eden. He did not tell him that. He told him to not eat. The Rabbi didn't mind that Friday night he should eat. He could not wait. The same thing, if you remember, Daril says, Netan Israel could not wait for Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was in Shamayim the first 40 days to get the Torah. Am Israel could not wait for Moshe. And then they told Aharon, Kum Atelonu Elohim Asher Lufaninu, please do for us, make for us a new leadership because Moshe is not back. So again, it's something that they don't wait enough. And that's what the Daril says, that Shaul HaMelech was the tikkun of Adam HaRishon and tikkun of the Egel, the golden calf. And that's the test to see if he will wait. And of course the test is that now it is being threatened by the Pishtim. And he feels that he has to go, and he feels that he has to do something, and he doesn't wait. So of course, that is not the sin of Shaul, that he did not wait. That's not called the sin. What it means is you were chosen. And that's called Ben Shana Shul Malcho, that he has no sins. It's like Adam HaRishon had no sins until he ate from Etz Hadat. Shaul is being compared to Adam HaRishon that had no sins. He has no sins either. That is the test, is to see if he can wait. By the way, Daril says that's exactly what the Gemara says in the second reading, that David HaMelech also could not wait, if you remember. It's Ruya Bat Sheva le David HaMelech Meshishet Yimei Bereshit. Daril says Adam HaRishon, the Gigul of Adam HaRishon is David, the Gigul of Chava is Bat Sheva, and David really should marry Bat Sheva, but should not marry her yet. Ela Shachala Paga, the Gemara said, David HaMelech, by taking Bat Sheva too early, is very similar to what Adam HaRishon did, he ate from Etz Hadat before the time. So the test is patience. The test is to see if you can wait. Adam HaRishon could not wait. Am Israel could not wait for Moshe Rabbeinu. David HaMelech could not wait for Bat Sheva. And Shaul could not wait for Shmuel HaNavi. This is one version.
Noach waited till
the Yonah. The same word you asked me last time. This, I don't know exactly what it means. Noach didn't have to wait. He didn't do anything. Nobody commanded Noah to send the pigeon out and to see what's going on. Noah decided upon himself to see what's going on. And there's no reason for Noah to wait. It really doesn't matter if Noah waited, didn't wait. Just the thing, it was a Shabbat maybe.
Same word, same day.
Same thing. The same spelling also, yes?
Yeah.
I don't know what's the connection. He told me last week. You told me, right? No, somebody else told me. Somebody told me over here last week. I don't know what's the connection, I don't know. I looked, I couldn't find any connection in the books. You're right, it's the same word, it's the same time. I don't know what it is. The same thing, yeah. So I think in the Torah also there's a Kriya and Ktiva on that spot. Yeah. Also by Noah also it changes. It says Vayachel, Vayochel. Right. I don't know what's the connection between him and Noah. But Noah really did not have to wait anything over there. He just took upon himself to send the pigeon out. He didn't have to send the pigeon out. It really was irrelevant, the pigeon.
Oh, the rain stopped.
Yeah, but he can't go outside anyway. The Gemara says, even though after the rain stopped, Noah waited in the Tevara. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me inside. I'm not allowed to go until HaKadosh Baruch Hu will tell me to go. So even though he picked up the cover of the Tevara, he did not go outside until Hashem told him to go outside. So what's the purpose? Sending the pigeon out and to see if it drives, not drives. It's really irrelevant. It doesn't matter if it drives or if the water stops. He himself says it is not leaving the Teva until Hashem will order him or give him the permission to leave the Teva. That's really irrelevant. If there is a Mabul, there is no Mabul, he can't go out. So what does it make if the pigeon will come back and will tell you there is no water? It really doesn't matter. Even if there is no water, you can't go out. So how about it's not huge, George? What does it make? It really doesn't make any difference. even though at least in one version he meant he wanted to see if this, if the world was fixed. And by that's what he tested. That's what Ari says. He tested first. He sent the crow out because he knew the crow did not behave in the Tema. So therefore, he wanted him out. This is one of the explanations that he did not want the crow inside the Tema. But then he sent the pigeon to see if really the world is fixed. That the pigeon will tell him what's the situation in the world. Again, it's irrelevant. You can't do anything. You have to sit down and wait for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell you. I mean, when he's different over here, he's waiting, he wants to attack the Pishtim, or he wants to do something else. The Pishtim are gathering to attack him, and he doesn't know what to do. He's waiting. So he should have waited till the end of the day. He waited only a few hours to the Chachamim, and on the seventh day he waited, and he couldn't wait anymore. But that it's not really a scene, it means that he was chosen to be the king, somebody to fix the scene of Adam HaRishon that he did not wait, and Am Yisrael did not wait. And by not waiting, that's what it means. You are not going to be the king because you were chosen for a certain job, and you're not qualified for the job. It's not a scene. It's not that he did something bad against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's that he did something that just makes him not qualified for the job. You cannot be a king. Nothing's wrong with you. You're just a king. Make your test. You make your test. If you want to be a pilot. You can be a pilot. You don't have to be a pilot. It's not a scene. You can be a pilot. You have to be a rabbi. You can be a pilot. What can you do? So Chachamim said, that's what the Zahir says. It's not that it's a scene that he did not listen, and therefore that scene would cause him to lose the kingdom. It's not a scene. It was like a test. It's like you go on a test. And then you failed the test, it means you're not qualified, that's what Shmuel says, you're not qualified. That's the explanation. So there is another version, we'll get to it in a minute. So you lost the kingdom. So that means it turns out that after that statement, so it's a war now. So it's a war. So Shmuel is like the rabbi, Shmuel is the prophet, and this man was chosen by you to be the king, and now it's time of war. The Palestinians are all around with who knows how many hundreds of thousands of soldiers, and Navi describes it like a son of a bitch. So he's leaving the area. Shmuel is going over, he says, where are you going? And it's time of war. I mean, that's the man that you appointed. So maybe he's upset at him, maybe that's why he's leaving. Why didn't he have to tell us this, that Shmuel is leaving? Of course, Shmuel is saying, Moksha Shmuel is. So now Shmuel has only 600 people. The Shmuel is not time, no, we have a new time, and we have a new time, and we have a new time. The Shmuel are in the city of Michmash, and they sit the Shmuel in Yonatan and Geva Binyamin. This is when Yonatan was there, they were sitting on the Pishtim for Shavashim. So the Pishtim divided their army into three groups. And one group, Rosh Echad Yisneim Derech Hofra and Erech Shual, they go towards Derech Hofra, Rosh Echad Yisneim Derech Bet Choron, the other one goes towards Bet Choron, and Rosh Echad Yisneim Derech Hakul, and Ishkam Agiyat Tzvoyim HaMidbara, towards Giyat Tzvoyim, it means towards the place there are snakes in the desert. So the Shlishtim are going to attack from three sides. The Charash lo yimatzi b'chol Eretz Yisrael. They couldn't find any person that knows how to do anything with metal. There's no mechanic shops, there's no welders, there's nobody that knows how to do anything with metal. There's no metal to be gotten. Why there's no metal? Nabi says, Kiyamah Plishtim. The Palestine, the Plishtim said, Pen Yasu Ivrim Sherev Ochanit. Again, they describe them Israel as Ivrim. Again, usually in the Tanakh, Am Yisrael are being called Israel. Here they are being called Ivrim. So the Plishtim made a law, they ruled Am Yisrael, even though Am Yisrael lived in Israel at the time, in Eretz Israel, But the Plishtim ruled on Israel. And they did not let Am Israel to have any machine shop, any place to make anything with metal. And the reason? They're afraid that the Jewish people will make swords or some other instrument, some other
spear.
So they won't let us. So therefore, there's nothing. You cannot have anybody making swords or spears. There was no warm-up. Today you go to Walmart, you buy a gun. Buy a gun. A free country, America. In that time, you could not find a sword.
The metal shop?
There's no metal shop. When today?
In Gaza.
In Gaza, yeah. They didn't know. They didn't have two sub banners those days. No.
They didn't have tunnels.
Didn't have tunnels either. No. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? That, this really is a punchline here. The Gemara says that pasuk means the Navi will tell us in Tupsukim. What it means is there's no place that they make any swords or spears. It means there is nothing that you can fight with. There's nothing. You go to a war with your two hands. How can you go to a war with two hands and the other side has the swords and everything? This is the punchline of the whole thing. So David, you see, sentence 22, if somebody had to do something to sharp, his plow, if he had to plow the ground, so for plowing the ground, he needs a machine shop, he needs somebody to sharp the plow. This is very good. You go to Egypt, you go to Gaza, they had to slip the plow into Gaza. You can imagine, you live all the way up north in Eretz Yisrael, and your plow needs to be sharpened, so you have to take the lawnmower all the way down to Gaza, over there to sharpen it. And since the Plishtim was so strong, you could not have a shop in any place in Eretz Yisrael to sharpen your plow. You have to take your plow all the way to Plishtim. Beit Eto, the shovel, the kardomo, the pick, the machashto. Same thing, I don't know what this is. Why machashto? It's a different thing, it's a different plow. By tap, since it's 21, by tap, it's a rap in.
It's
something else, no? So where they did not have this time or the strength to go all the way down, they used to take like a little thing up Sirah, and they used to sharpen themselves the plow like him for the shovel, the shloshki, the shovel, the kardomim, to the pig, to the fork, or the tiva adovan, to other kind of metal things. But in Israel you could not have any place that manufacture swords or spears. והיה ביום מלחמת, or the time of the war now, ולא נמצא אחר חיים ביד כל העם אשר יושב עליו כאן. ותימצא לשון שם בנו. It is all of Israel, only two swords. One for Shaul, one for Yonatan. The all of Israel, talking about hundreds, millions of people. Hundreds of thousands, millions of people in Israel, no one has a sword. Can you imagine? You have to go to a war against the Palestinians. You have two guns. Shaul has one, and Yonatan has one. The whole of Israel don't have. Now not only they don't have, it's only 600 people, 600 soldiers surrounding now Shaul HaMelech, the king of Israel. Only two people have it. They say, Ma'atem HaPlishtim El Mavar Mishmash. So they're all ready to attack, and they're staying in Mishmash. So the Ari says like this. Torah tells us in Sefer Dvarim that the Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he told us originally to leave Har Sinai, to go to Eretz Yisrael, Alelesh says, you go and inherit Eretz Yisrael without any ammunition. says you don't need anything. You don't need a sword and spear, nothing. Just walk into Earth Israel. The Goyim will leave Earth Israel. First of all, explanation what it means. Is it Hashem wants us to feel better? I mean, if this is the land, it's not people who promised us this land, probably does it mean. If it's my land, I don't have to fight. It's Hashem giving me the land. So this is my land, I don't have to fight. That's an explanation. That's what Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell us, go and inherit the Eretz Yisrael. Amerish, it means you do not need to fight. It's a very good feeling. It's also a proof that it's our land. If we capture the land without any fight, it means it's ours. This is usually that it happened in 1948 when all the Arabs picked up their belongings and ran away from Israel. They ran away. Nobody chased them away. They ran away. They ran away from Yafo, they ran away from Akko, they ran away from a lot of places. But it was a proof that you're getting Eretz Israel because you don't need to fight. If you fight it, you win. So you won. It means you're strong. But doesn't mean you deserve it. But if you just get it because the enemy ran away, it means you own it. And that's what the Navi all the time. The Navi describes that Israel got certain things because the enemy ran away. It's also based on the Pasuk in the Torah that the Goyim would run away from us. But it means it's a proof that you deserve Eretz Israel. So it means you deserve Eretz Israel because nobody else is here. Because the enemy left. And the opposite is when the enemy attacks you, what it means is you don't deserve it. This is a shame, but I'm about to him. Even another nation should not pass with a war. What it means is that Shalom Ba'at, it means to be peace. Peace means that you deserve the land. War means that maybe you don't deserve the land. There's a problem with you owning right now this land. You cannot be the owner of this place. You can't own it. You can't own it. And says, this is the proof. It says when you have a bomb, when you have somebody attack you, it means it's not yours. It is mine, but I have an enemy.
Kibush Ha'aretz means walking.
Kibush Ha'aretz means only walking. Yeah. Rashi says it in Sefer Dvarim, Parashat Dvarim. On the Pasuk, Alei Resh, Rashi says, the Gemara says, if it would not have fell into the trap with a scythe, they do not need a sword. They do not need any war. If you remember once I said that Parashat Shlach, Am Yisrael did tshuva, it says, Chatanu yinu ve'alinu el ha'makom, asher amar Hashem. And after Moshe told them, Hashem is upset, they said, okay, we are sorry what we did. We are ready to go. Vashkimu b'boker, they got up early in the morning, and so they're going towards the mountain. And Moshe said, don't go, don't go. But it says, why Hashem did not accept their tshuva? And the reason says, Darim, because it says they took the ammunition with them. They took the swords with them. And Moshe Rabbeinu emphasized it, instead of going, "Tachiru ish et chavo," it says, you took the sword with you. It says, if you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't take a sword. What does it mean? It doesn't mean a miracle. It doesn't mean a miracle. What it means is that you deserve it. You deserve it. If you deserve it, the guy is not here. So if you come to your own house, and you see somebody sleeping in your bed, you don't have to have a gun. You just tell him, excuse me, this is not your house, and he has to leave. The police come, takes him out. It's not big enough to kill him. I says, this is your house. You have a deed on the house, it's your house. The land, Eretz Israel, is ours because Hashem promised the land to us. If somebody leaves Eretz Israel without permission, Hashem is telling us, go to Eretz Israel, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, it means you go to Israel. You go to Israel, it means you go to Israel, Israel is available for you. So you don't have to be afraid of a fight, because a fight means that you're taking it away from them. You don't take it from somebody, you deserve it. It's yours. They have to make it available for you. If they don't let you come inside, what it means is that you don't deserve it. That's really what Moshe Rabbeinu told the spies. It's very divine. See, if there's a tzaddik over there, if there is a holy man there in Israel, so even though that Israel is yours, but the holy man you can't sit out of your house. I mean, if you have a guest in your house, the holy man, you can't tell him, listen, it's time for you to go home to your house. The holy man. Holy man, you can't send somebody to go on the street. You can, you know, a ghost you can send out of the street. You tell him, listen, go out of the street, go back to Washington Bridge. But you can't tell if a holy man staying in your house, it's a guest. You can't say, this, excuse me, sir, it's time, you know, it's time, you hear enough, go out. It's dangerous. You cannot chase a guest from your house if he's a holy man. If he's not a holy man, if he's a bad person, he says, listen, it's time to leave, it's time to leave. Even if it's not a holy man, it's a very bad person, but a normal person, you have a guest in the house, and you can't say, okay, sir, you're staying here a month, it's time for you to leave. You cannot do it. You can't cheat somebody on the street. It's a major, major thing. And that's what Moshe says, are you really told? I'm Israel, the spy, they said, Yesh Ba'et, he says, when you go to Israel, see, there is a holy man there. It's a holy man there. The holy man prevents you from coming inside. What does it mean? It means, what's the big deal? You put him in a nursing home. I said, no, a holy man has a right to stay there. Has a right to stay there because of he is there. He has the right also to let his people to stay along with him. If they stay, you cannot fight. Why you cannot fight? Because if you fight, it means the land is not yours. You have to go there and get there as a client just because it's you. That is really the belief that we have. And if you know or not, in Israel, 1948 was one of the main fights was the castle. It was a mountain. Today you don't feel it. But when I was young, when I was a little boy, I used to go from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim. And Israel got from America JMC buses. JMC buses. Those were the only buses that were able to climb this mountain. All the other buses used to get stuck in the middle of the mountain. Overheat, they just couldn't pull. Just couldn't pull that street. That road. It was almost impossible. I remember how many times we got stuck on this mountain. And the Arabs used to be on the top, 1948. And they made a speech in Yerushalayim. My Brit Milah was in Tel Aviv. All my family was in Yerushalayim, they were in Yerushalayim. They could not come to the Brit. Because the Arabs just made a siege around Yerushalayim and the peak was Kastel. Kastel was the biggest mountain next to Yerushalayim. And the army could not capture it. No way. It was weeks and maybe months that the army was a very weak army in the beginning. They could not chase the Arabs there. They just couldn't chase the Arabs. They had a very tough leader, an officer, was famous. Cruel and bad person. And one night he had to go to the bathroom. So he went someplace and he got lost. And one of the soldiers, they were hiding around, one of the other soldiers, saw somebody walking and they shot him. They shot him, he died. He was killed. So the army, the Arabs, they were standing over there stationed on the tip of the mountain. They waited for him, they waited, and then he didn't come. They figure out that they shot and they heard that this guy died. This is another kind of a story. When they heard he died, they all ran away. They ran away immediately, and then Tal ran up to the mountains, they captured, the siege broke, and they were killed for life. It's a sign. That's Arisa. He doesn't talk about this, but Arisa says it's a sign. If it goes easy, it means the land is yours. If it doesn't go easy, that you capture, it means only you have a good army, you have a very good tanks, you have good airplanes, but doesn't mean that you really deserve it. I mean, to deserve Eretz Israel, it means Hashem agrees that Israel is yours. And so the test is, if you don't fight, if you fight and you overcome them, that you're smarter than them, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mercy on you, that the enemy is not right, but doesn't mean that you have the right to do it. This is really what Moshe Rabbeinu Ari says. It says in the Torah. Torah says in Sefer Dvarim, Lo betitkatcha, Kadosh Baruch Hu does not give you the land because you're holy man. Ki berishat ha-goyim ha-ele. If somebody is going to ask you when you got to Israel, why did you get Israel? It says, Yeshua crossed you the Jordan. It says, why did you get it? It's not because you deserve it. You don't deserve it. Since you did the golden calf, since that you continued to do the thing with the spies, you don't deserve Israel. He says, I'm going to let you come inside because the Goyim are very wicked people, and then I give you the right to be there. But you don't deserve it. You deserve it, it means if you would walk into Israel, they all say goodbye to you and they left. If you're going to have to fight with them, and if you're going to have to come slowly, the way Torah describes it, ותברך אחרי את השדה, הקדוש ברוך הוא is going to do it slowly, because he does not want the animals to capture the land from you. He said, the animals will capture the land from me, what does it mean? I can shoot all the animals, I can, no, no, you cannot. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu writes in the Torah that he is going to get rid of the animals very slowly, because he does not want the animals to overcome the people in the Eretz Yisrael. What it means is that you really don't deserve it 100%. Ari says that this is really what the Torah tells us about Avraham Avinu. The first world war started between four kings and five kings. In that war, Avraham Avinu is called Avraham HaYizri. The Torah describes Avraham as Ivri. Of course, was no Yehudim yet, but Avraham is being called Ivri, that he comes from the other side of the river. Avraham Avinu went and he won the war. It says he took Eliezer, according to Chacham and the Farshim, only him and Eliezer are going against the army. So what do you do? He said he's throwing sand on them and he's throwing straw on them. I said, can you imagine, somebody goes to a war, he doesn't have a sword, he doesn't have a rifle, doesn't have a gun or tanks, he has something, he picks up sand from the floor, he throws on them. And they ran away. I said, what Torah is trying to tell you, says Zal, what Torah is trying to tell you? The Torah is a magician, is a holy man, says, no. The Torah is trying to tell you that Israel belongs to you. That war took place was in Israel. And that war, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu at the time was 52 years old. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Avraham Avinu how you win a war. You don't win a war with a sword. You win a war, yes, of course you can win a war with a sword. But what it doesn't mean that you deserve it. It says, you won it because he is stronger. You know, you're Muhammad Ali. You know, you did exercise all your life, but now you're stronger. You can kill Fraser. That doesn't mean that you really deserve to win him. I said, if you deserve Eretz Yisrael, that's the test. A test is you go on the street and all the Arabs run away from him. Run away from you. And you know you deserve it. I said, Avraham Avinu went to a war, he's going to fight four kings, hundreds of thousands of soldiers, and he throws sand on them. I said, what's the idea behind it? What do you mean you throw sand on them? What do you mean you throw straw on them? It means that Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham Avinu, this belongs to you, this place. That's the war took place in Israel. It says, by throwing, it says, that it only shows if you're going to win the war, it means you don't fight with a sword, you don't fight with a spear, with ammunition, you don't fight, you just chase them. It says, excuse me, get out of here. It says, it's my place. It says, you have four kings with hundreds of thousands of soldiers, already won the five kings, they destroyed other cities, and here comes the person, and you throw sand on them. It's not what the Torah wants to tell you that Avraham Avinu was a holy man. But of course Avraham Avinu was a holy man, but the purpose of the story is to show you this land belongs to you. You own this land. You own this land. Here, Avraham Avinu is called the first Jew. Avraham Avri, he took the place. He took the place not because you win, because you're going to kill the officer of the Plishtim, but Mr. Rekom is dead. He says, why ask you to kill him? Why do you have to kill him? You don't have to kill him. He says, that Shmuel told to Olam Melech specifically, you have to understand, you're the king of Israel. What it means is that you start the whole thing all over again. All over again, says Ari, it means stage one. Stage one means that Israel belongs to you because Israel was given to Avraham Avinu, was given to you. And if you are the new king, if you are called the Mashiach, says, you don't have to fight. Yes, there's one nation you have to fight, it's Amalek. It's a secret. Why? We'll get into the next chapter. Why Amalek? You do have to fight. There's a secret about it. But the other nations, you don't fight. You don't go kill an officer and you don't kill somebody. I mean, somebody attacks you, so you're allowed to fight back at him. But you have to understand, the idea is that this is your country. And Navi is going to describe it. Says Navi. He says, you cannot get a sword in whole Israel. He says, of course, it's a trick. The Plishtim will not let you have any machine shop. They will not let you have any sword, any spirit. He says, the whole idea is that you don't need it. That's the idea. That's all the things you don't have. He says, the whole Sefer Shoftim, full of wars. Shmuel until here, also he had already a war. All of the Tadim, Navi says, you can't get a sword. He says, where are all the swords? What, all of the sudden you're going to fall? He says, yes. He says, that's when Shaul was re-pointed by Shmuel Navi, he says, when Shana Shaul b'molcho, he says, Shaul HaMelech, you the new king, they resume the kingdom, they reestablish the kingdom. A kingdom means you start all over again, it means not all over again because you, it means you get the Eretz Yisrael from the beginning. From the beginning it says, no war. And that's really, I don't say what Shmuel told Shmuel HaMelech, says, you wait for me 7 days, be patient, wait for me 7 days. He says, there's no such thing, I have to go, you don't go to a war. Israel belongs to you because you called Ivri, because you're great grandchild of Abraham Avinu, and Hashem promised Abraham the land. You are the chosen one, that you are so pure and so holy, and you have no sins, you were chosen to be the king, and you represent Am Israel, you are a great grandson of Abraham Avinu, you have Israel because you own it, because Hashem gave it to you.
But how does that apply to today?
I don't know. I'm telling you what is in the Tanakh, what Ari said in the Tanakh. And this is really what the Nabi emphasized, that only Shaul and Yonatan had it all. Says Ari, oh, very nice. How do you have this sword, Mr. Shaul? How did you get it? Where did you buy it? You find it in Gaza. Says Ari, no, can you imagine? This was a miracle that Shaul was handed a sword from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no information. The Midrash says it. Midrash says that Shaul and Yonatan had a sword, not because they had a sword under the bed, or they found a sword in the tunnel. It was a special sword that Hashem gave them. It says, you as a king, you should have a sword. It says that the Melech in the Tehillim describes a king that he has a sword. But not necessarily that you have to use a sword as a sword to kill. Maybe, I don't know, you find somebody that you want to kill and you kill him. But you're not going to win a war because you have a sword. You're not going to... He says the Matityahu also, if you remember I said. He says Matityahu, says again based on Midrash as well, Matityahu also had a special sword. That with that sword he was able to chase the Greeks out of Israel. Again, what it means is that you deserve Israel. But it's not because what you killed them. So that's the reason I'm telling you, he has only 600 soldiers. On the other side, you have soldiers like sand of the beach. So you have the Shaul and Yonatan, two people, only two swords. The rest of the people, 600 people are standing over there. They have no ammunition, they have no swords, they have no, there's nothing. And the military is nothing. I said, yes, that it is just to tell you what the situation is, Israel, that Israel you don't get because you're stronger, because you have a stronger army, and you have more missiles. Israel belongs to you because Hashem gave it to you. And that's the proof that, of course, you can say an excuse. I don't have a sword because the Plishtim made a law that Israel is not allowed to have any machine shop, any places, any metal places. You can't have Walmart with gone. But by not having it, it means that was the test. It's only here, says Ari, that you find in the Tanakh that no one has a sword, and the Tanakh will describe it, that it made a law, the Plishtim made a law, even though that we're talking about hundreds of thousands of Jews can be soldiers. So you can see later, a few minutes later, Shaul has 200,000 soldiers to fight Amalek. Amalek is a different concept, we'll talk about this also next week. Or 2 weeks maybe. But here is just an attack for the Palestinians. Palestinians, you don't win because you're stronger. Palestine has no right to be in Israel. Has no right to be in Israel. And that's what Navi is telling us. That's what really Shmuel is so upset. Because it's not that he did not wait for Zari for the Shaul. He lost the kingdom because he didn't listen to Shmuel and to Hashem just because he didn't wait. For this, Hashem was forgiven him. This is the concept of what you did. It says you have to go to a war. It says you don't understand the concept. The concept is not that you have to go to a war with the Plishtim. So what is the Plishtim of him? Yeah, here. What's the Plishtim of him? And what, why you killed this guy, obviously also me, that doesn't tell to him, but it means you were chosen together as Israel in the right way. The right way is just walking towards Israel without fighting, because the enemy has no right to be in us. That's what the lot of Chachamim said. I don't want to go into politics. A lot of Chachamim said that you don't sit down and discuss anything with the Arabs or with the Arabs. There's nothing. There's no right to be in Israel. They go back to Mecca if they want. There's no right to be in Israel. What do you mean you sit down and you make for them a peace, a plan? There's no right to be there. This is our land. The United Nations announced in 1948 that this land belongs to the Jews. But it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. some other people who we should deserve or deserve. So he's going to sit down and discuss things. Who is they? They have no right. Can you imagine Chinese people will come? There's some Vietnamese in they live in next to Tveria. And so they're going to say that they want to have Israel. This is what we have in Israel. What do you have in Israel? Well, what's right here in Israel? Who said you own it here? You don't even own it. You're a tourist there. So what can you say? Can you some people come to America? They say they own America. You can sit down and discuss anything with them. They have no right to be here. The United Nations decided that this part of the world belongs to the Jews. That's because it says in the Tanakh, it belongs to us. By us sitting down and negotiating with them, discussing with them, we just tell our HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this land doesn't belong to us. And that's what's really so upset. And that's what Ishmael said, that Hashem does not want you. Hashem does not want you because you were chosen to reestablish the kingdom of Israel because Israel belongs to us, to Am Yisrael. And you are here to fight them. You say you can wait for me. He says, Am Yisrael is running. That's the man. Who needs you and your son? Cesaris, like Eliezer and Abraham, two people, went against few hundred thousand soldiers. This is you and your son. I think 600 people, soldiers, cannot do anything anyway. There's no swords. It's only you and your son. Something like Abraham and Eliezer with Abraham. He says, how do you win? You don't win. You just get what you deserve. He says, Israel belongs to you. Because Abraham was able to chase the enemies because Israel belongs to you. He says, you should be the same exact idea. The Pishtim comment doesn't matter. You and your son will take care of it. How? He says, here you got to sold the present from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're going to run away. And this is the Navi's going to tell you later. They all ran away. So they ran away not because you won. So the Navi's going to tell us the next chapter that your son is going with his servant. Again, it's going to be only two people. And Yonatan has one sword and his servant has nothing. And they walk around. This is going to be the next chapter. And all the Pishtim going to run away from two people. Two people will be able to chase hundreds of thousands of soldiers. Only to show that it's not because we're smarter, we're stronger, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants this land to belong to us. That's our land. It's our land. You have no right to be in my land. Well, so who are you to be in my land? Get away from my land. I said, if you deserve it, and they can run away. Just to have, like I said, because to have the right to be there. This is Mr. Begin, the Father of Racha. Remember what the kid he said, we don't live in Israel בזכות הכוח אלא בכוח הזכות. We don't live here because we have the strength. We live in Israel with the strength of the right to be here. We here because Hashem gave us this land. Chas shalom, we don't deserve it, we don't send us to exile. But the test is if you have it without fighting and winning. If you win it because you fought, it means you're stronger. It doesn't mean that you have the right to be there. You have to have the right to be there, Cesare, if you just walk and they walk away from you, they run away from you. And that's what the Torah says, that they run away from you. You can go and you chase them and you just no ammunition. You don't need a sword. And says they can afford their own sword, they can die on their own sword, but not you have to go and kill them actually. And says, the idea is that you have to believe that Israel is your country because Hashem gave it. That's why the Navi Cesare uses the description of Am Yisrael Ibrahim over here. And usually you don't find in the Tanakh of Am Yisrael is being called Ibri. So that word Ibri you find in the first world war that Abraham Ibri. And says Abraham was described in the Torah as Abraham Ibri. So therefore the Navi tells us this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from you. He expects from you to have Eretz Israel like Abraham Avinu had Eretz Israel, with the right to be an Eretz Israel. And that's why Shimon Levi leaves right away. He says, what do you mean it's a war? He says, you don't understand, it's not a war. The idea is to show you that it's no war. It's no war. Who cares how many Arabs you have? Cockroaches. They're cockroaches. Says, your right to be in Israel is stronger than all the cockroaches. So who cares? All of them are coming to attack Israel. Shmuel gave the statement to Shaul and he walked away and says, what do you mean you leave this guy alone? Look what's going on, he has 600 soldiers, he has only two swords and all the Arabs around and then you're leaving him. You anointed him, you made him the king and you run away. He says, I have nothing to say, I mean there's no war, I don't see any war. I says, Israel belongs to you because you're a Jew. He says, who cares how many Arabs around you? The whole Arab, the description is, and Navi does not exaggerate, and Navi says, Arabs like sand of the beach. He said, how many Muslims do you have around the world? Who cares how many Muslims you have in the world? Who cares? He says, as long as you deserve as Israel, they cannot touch you, they cannot do anything. So you cannot win. How can you win? You don't have to win. You have the right to be an Israelite. Don't put it on the internet. It's going to be a rebel.
That's the same.